On today's episode, Thanksgiving pizza,
Christmas vinyl, gremlins at Jack in the Box,
and the great holiday music debate.
We're recapping Halloween, trying a new IPA, and talking about all How to Fix It Workshop on YouTube.
It's a packed show. Let's go.
Let's do it.
Hey, welcome to Stuck in Beta. I'm Greg.
And I'm Josh.
And hey, it is another week. We're in a hurry right now. So we got our snack in the oven. So we're just trying to roll this along right now. So
yep.
Sorry if we seem quick here at the beginning. So it's doing good?
I'm doing real good.
Let's have a beer.
Yeah, let's do it. So this time... tell us a little story about how you acquired these beers. You got like a sampler pack of
My neighbor, he's asked me if I'd watch his dogs, you know, let them in and out. And I was like, of course, no problem. And I didn't expect anything. But he comes back with a big case, the Flannel series or Flannel collection.
Yeah,
of Bells.
Kind of like a fall variety pack, I guess.
And we're going to try one of them in that pack right now. It's the Red Hearted IPA.
Yep. Oh my gosh! Mine get dropped?
That one exploded.
What the heck? I did nothing.
I shook that one up a little bit.
Oh man. Wow. I don't know what happened there. That's all over the place.
That's amateur, man.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed. At least didn't get on anything important. So.
My table!
What do we know about this beer?
They don't give much on Bell's website. All it says, so this is from Bell's, we did say that. Red Hearted IPA, it's their take on their two-hearted IPA, but it's a red IPA. Pine and fruit hop aroma balanced around malty notes of caramel. And, well, that's all they give you.
Did you shout out your neighbor? Did you say his name?
Bobby. Yeah.
Thanks, Bobby. It smells
good. Well, I guess
good.
You could say Bobby and Lindsay. I mean, she was poor, too.
Thanks, Bobby and Lindsay. It smells delicious. Sorry, I'm just still cleaning up my mess here.
Yeah, it smells very... You get that pine, fruity, citrus right away. It smells really good.
Yeah, it does.
And yeah.
Oh, that's good.
It's really good. It feels good. Feels like when it's we have another 70 degree day today, but
mid-November,
yeah. But normal November, this would be like, oh yeah, that's warm in the insides, you know.
Belly warmer. Yeah, did you say it was 8%? And sorry if you
8%, yeah.
Yeah.
Big boy.
I was distracted by my mess. Yeah, it's definitely got some of those citrusy characteristics. I get like a little bit of grapefruit, I would say, or some kind of citrus fruit.
Yeah, and it definitely has the mix. You could tell it's got like a little bit of the pininess too.
Mm-hmm.
My dog is going all over this place looking for something. I wonder if the cat's hiding down here. I don't know what she's doing.
Yeah, I think this is a good choice for the weather that we're experiencing right now.
Well, maybe in a few days when it cools down.
Oh, you think this should be a type of beer for even cooler weather? I mean, it's like 70.
It's got a little bit of little spiciness, kind of a little stronger. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
It does feel seasonal, but maybe that's because, you know, I'm feeling in that mood.
It's kind of... one of those in-between the season type of beers, though. It's not like something you would want to drink in the summer necessarily.
No.
Although it is an IPA, it's a heavy one.
Yeah.
And it's thick and cloudy, it looks like. Well, juicy.
For this one, I would say an A. It's a good one. I like it.
I agree with that.
I'm very happy with most Bell's, most things that Bell's puts out. Their Two-Hearted IPA is probably one of my favorite just beers all around.
Yeah, I remember you used to go out and specifically purchase that one.
Yeah, it's like a, it is an IPA, but it's kind of on that
milder side, maybe.
Yeah, it's kind of in between a pale ale and IPA, but
yep.
This one's definitely an IPA, but cool. It's good stuff.
It should pair well with our snack.
There you go. And our, hey, we got 2 minutes until snack. Well, at least we think. I don't know. It may take a little longer.
Yeah.
So,
all right. Well,
cheers. So, what have you been up to? I mean,
one of my kids is moving, Lexi, this weekend, and
it's exciting.
We've been preparing for that. It's been a lot of, I guess, mine and well, more so Lori's attention up until this week. So I've been, she's getting her own apartment and she's getting a couple pieces of furniture that we're making. She bought herself a couch, and I'm making like I made a coffee table, and it has a lift top so she can have the inside of the coffee table for storage.
Oh, does it lift so it's actually a table too? Yeah.
Like the one we had whenever we had an apartment.
Oh man, that's back in the in the day. 99.
Yeah.
98, 99.
Yeah, around then, 98, 99.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I also made a little table that goes behind the couch, basically like 6 inches wide, and then it has an outlet in there so she could charge her phone or plug in a lamp.
Oh, set it behind you.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
Yep. So that's been keeping me busy the last like week and a half or so since we've been together last. And we missed last week's show because it was just Halloween and
I had some crud too that I was trying to get over. I was probably on the fifth day of.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, kind of. I saw you on Halloween, which I was kind of done by then, but it just hung on. It was a bunch of snot. Fun stuff.
Yeah, I haven't had to deal with that yet, thank goodness.
But Halloween, you came over, we did a little, well, we did a little sitting around the bonfire, and a bunch of kids came around, and we had so much candy. Oh,
there's the timer. It's snack time.
Well, we'll put this thought on hold, I guess. All right. Just a minute. We got to check this out. I don't know. Cashews, almonds, macadamia nuts, lilac, pecans too, pistachio, live up to know the tricks. All right, guys. We have today DiGiorno's Thanksgiving pizza.
Ooh, I'm so excited about this.
Yeah?
Yeah. As soon as you sent the picture to me the other day, I was like, man, this sounds pretty good.
So, yeah, I saw this at the grocery store, and I'm like, I better pick this up before these sell out quick. I'll never see these again. Of course, next time I went yesterday again, and they were still sitting around. So, I don't know. It is early in November, so maybe that's why, but...
Never seen anything like this before. This is very unique.
You want to talk about what's on there?
Yeah. Looks like we have, well, let's just say what DiGiorno has to say about this. It's Thanksgiving pizza. Gives you the delivery taste right at home. So families can get a classic holiday dinner without spending long hours in the kitchen.
That's what people are doing. They're like, you know, for Thanksgiving this year.
We want pizza, but we want Thanksgiving dinner toppings on our pizza. I mean, who was asking for this, I wonder?
I don't know.
But it looks like we have, what, roasted chicken, cranberries, green
roasted
beans.
Roasted turkey.
Oh, what did I say? Oh, yeah, of course it's turkey. And those, like, crispy onions?
Yeah.
Is that what they were called?
And a gravy drizzle, and it's Detroit style. Destroyed, you know.
Well, it smells wonderful. Let's give it a taste.
Green beans on a pizza. Okay.
I got a lot of cranberries on mine.
So it's funny because I don't think I got a piece of turkey in that bite, but the sauce is gravy.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't expect that. I thought there was some on top. It's more than I expected.
It's really good.
Yeah, it's not too bad, actually.
I got my big chunk of turkey.
I gotta say that turkey that I had, I don't know, felt a little.
It's pretty
squishy.
I don't know.
The cranberries are good. The sauce is good.
Everything else is good. Turkey is a little funky.
Yeah.
It's like, chewy.
Yeah. Have you had a green bean yet?
I did. And it was mixed with the onion and gravy and cranberry. Yeah, good bite.
Man, I think these are pretty good. I mean, yeah, the chicken, or, God dang it, I did it again. The turkey is so-so. Threw his napkin way over there.
Oh.
The crust is awesome.
Yeah, it's good. So, this actually surprised me. I expected this to be just horrible because, you know, frozen pizza.
Yeah.
However, DiGiorno actually is, I would say, a higher tier of your frozen pizza. And
I really enjoy it, and I didn't have lunch yet, so I'm actually pretty hungry.
You'll get a second piece.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a one-and-done type situation. Go out there, try it. I wouldn't say this is going to be something you'll want to get all the time, stock up or anything.
So you bought one for us to have, and
yeah.
I'm sure you're going to have maybe some leftover that you can share with your family. I would not be opposed to buying this again for my house and having my wife try it.
Really?
I really like it.
I don't think Molly would like this.
Really? Lori might like it. I think it's good.
So, one thing when that frozen chicken or turkey sometimes gets that sponginess.
That's a good word for it, yeah.
And that's what you get on this.
Mm-hmm.
The taste is still fine, but it's still. And I know Molly hates that.
Really?
Yeah. She will, like, be like, nope, I'm done.
It reminds me of those, like, TGI Friday wings or whatever that you would get. Frozen ones and have to microwave or whatever. Like, yeah, it's just that sponginess is a good word for it.
It's not a good quality of chicken, usually. This isn't as bad as that, I don't think, but it's still, yeah. But now, here's this thing. We do a lot of at home. We make our own pizzas, and we love to put our own toppings and all that. We like to. I think my favorite is when we all do our own, and then we don't. You know, instead of saying, "Hey, we're going to do a pepperoni," we all make our own little individuals. If you were going to do that, would you ever use any of these ingredients? Like green, we got some green beans in there. Hey, you want to put those on pizza?
The cranberries is unique because it offers like contrasting flavors.
Yeah.
Because I really like pineapple on pizza. I know that's controversial. A lot of people don't like that.
I do.
But I like it's the sweet and salty, I guess, sweet and savory.
Mm-hmm.
Because the pineapple offers that, you know, a little bit of sweet flavor. I think the cranberry in this case does something very similar because you got the gravy and the onions that are more on the salty side, savory side, whatever.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe so, I like cranberries in salad.
Yeah, me too. And the gravy is actually really good too. And the onions, the crispy onions, I would definitely put those on a pizza. And the gravy.
Really? The crispy onions?
I don't really like onions too much, but I like them in that because they remind me of, what is that little, is it durkies or something like that? What is the little like stuff you put on the top of green bean casserole?
French's,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of that. And then the gravy is a unique that I like having white sauce or anything that's a little different than the traditional
pizza sauce as something different. So, yeah, I would do that, but not that quality of turkey, though.
Yeah. So, you know, after our Thanksgiving meal, maybe take the leftovers.
Yeah.
Do it on a pizza.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Do your own take on it. Then it'd be all fresh ingredients. Hmm.
That's a really good idea.
To get this style crust, well, I've done this before. We've done the thicker crust. I do it in a cast iron pan, and it works pretty much similar to that. It's kind of like a pan pizza.
We like to do the flatbread pizza, the flatbread that you can get from wherever, Aldi or whatever. And we do something similar to what you mentioned, where you just kind of put your own toppings on there. But I think that would work well with just throwing the leftovers from Thanksgiving on there. I'm going to keep that in mind and try to test it out. I mean, I'm trying to think what other Thanksgiving food toppings could possibly go on there.
Well, I mean, you could say stuffing, but
oh yeah,
your crust is really
the bread. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little overkill.
Let's see. There's what? Mashed potatoes. That probably wouldn't work out.
I don't know. You almost need to like roll mashed potatoes in the little balls or something to make, because I don't know. You'd
smear it on there.
Smear it on there.
I mean, I don't know what other toppings from Thanksgiving you could add on there.
Well, there you go.
It was good.
Surprisingly pretty good. Yeah.
I give it a B+. If I know we don't typically rate our
snacks. We're usually like, oh no,
that's not good. This is one of the best that we've had. And usually we're looking for the quirky things that we originally think aren't going to be very good.
Yeah,
this one was surprising.
B+. I'd be there. Yep. I'd say around there. That'd be good. All right. Oh, what else do we have going on? I've been... Oh, damn it, Mo! Get out of here! Sorry, dog was tangled in the wires. Sorry. I'm one of those guys, after Halloween, all the decorations done.
Uh-huh.
November 1st, get out of here! Actually, on some years, you can't the next day because you have to go to work. This year was a weekend, so it was easier. But I always am embarrassed. I'm like, oh man, I feel so stupid with skeletons on my porch and graveyards, and this can't be.
I don't care that much.
I do. I feel like I'm a total jerk for having all that stuff up.
All the neighbors are pointing and laughing at me and mocking me.
I don't know. I'm that way. And maybe it's because I feel that about, look at that guy. He's still got his pumpkins out.
The judgy one. Wait a minute. Now, so pumpkins and those kind of decor, not jack-o'-lanterns.
Okay, jack-o'-lanterns is what I was talking about.
Oh, okay.
Now, we had an extra pumpkin this year that we didn't carve. I think I'm going to... Molly wants me to take it to my folks' house. They live in the woods, and throw it out there, and maybe the deer will eat it.
So for your jack-o'-lanterns, though, couldn't you just turn them around backwards and they, you have another side there? I mean,
yeah,
I know,
but they still rot.
They started to rot, yeah.
I don't know.
Do you do the Vaseline trick? You put that on there to keep them from, on all the edges?
I thought you were getting a little...
kinky?
Yeah. You know, the pumpkins. No, I don't do that.
Oh,
I've heard of that before, but I usually wait until... I know the family always like, oh, let's carve pumpkins. I go, Halloween's not for another week. Oh, we could do it. I always tell them, no, we have to wait till the last minute.
Well, then yours would be fine for... If you spun them around backwards, they'd be okay for at least another week or two.
I want that first trash day after Halloween to chuck them.
Man. Okay.
Yeah.
You're already in the Christmas spirit.
Well, part of that is my wife, Molly, is like November 1st. She's ready for that Christmas. She is.
Tree's not up yet.
No, it isn't. And I'm, let's just say I used to be more of a wait until, not until Thanksgiving, but more along maybe the week before Thanksgiving. That's where I'd start setting everything up.
That's where you were pre-Molly?
Pre-Molly, yeah. And now I'm kind of like, eh, what the hell? We'll set it up. I am that way with Halloween, you know. I'm like, August is here. Let's throw up the jack-o'-lanterns, you know.
I think I don't really mind that. I think we talked about this a few weeks ago. I don't mind that too much. And I ran it by my wife, Lori, and she was like, what? Because I've been more of on the traditional side, like you, waiting until Thanksgiving or around Thanksgiving. But now, like this year, I feel like here in the Midwest, our Novembers are usually very mild.
Yeah.
They can be, like, we're going to have some cold days coming up here, but then it's going to be mild again. And that, to me, doesn't put me in the Christmas spirit.
No. There's been so many Decembers where it's 80 degrees, and we're like, And then they're saying, you know, you got the songs, let it snow, let it snow. Like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Who wrote these songs? Yeah. Like, did they live in the,
no,
in the, you know, upper in Canada or something?
No. It's global warming, man. That's see back then.
Oh, you're getting political now.
I don't know about that. But yeah, so, and she's, you know, I'm just as bad now. I'm just as bad. I'm ready. Sirius launches their Christmas channels, and I'm like, oh, let's flip them on, you know.
I didn't know that. This early?
They came out on Tuesday, which was, what, the 4th?
Okay.
So, I'm like, let's put it on. Let's, I don't,
but
it's not as constant like I do through the later part of the season, but I'll flip them on and, you know.
So here's the timing of all this is like you start out really early and then you're just done and sick of it. And I'm, especially around Christmas, I'm one that I grew up this way. My mom never took down the Christmas tree until after the first of the year because it was like the holiday, I don't know, time or whatever. And I know you're like, December 26th, we got to take everything down.
That was another pre-Molly thing. Oh. I would be December 26th, rip it down. Get Santa out of here. I hate looking at Christmas stuff after Christmas. I don't know. I feel it's time to get it down, but Molly's not that way, so I don't get
it. Oh, so she's okay with it staying up past, or through New Year's?
So usually it stays up.
Because I just think on, like, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, even the days in between, it's just a nice, I don't know, it's cozy.
I'm like, I'm done.
But yeah, if you start at the beginning of November and you're like, this tree, especially if you get a real tree, which I mean you can't right now, I don't think, but that thing would be dead by
yeah, real trees, you gotta wait. I think the end of November is about when you can, at the earliest.
But they cut them like early in the
I don't get that. I don't know.
I remember asking the place where we usually get ours here in town, Richards. And they were like, yeah, we get them from Michigan. They cut them in, like, October.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. That's what they told me.
I didn't know that they don't even get them locally.
No. Yeah, they don't get them locally.
Oh, that's kind of...
I know. I would like to go cut my own, though. We bought a Christmas tree last year. I think it was last year or the year before, that we are not happy with. We bought a big, tall one. We used to get a real one for years, like, probably, almost as long as Lori and I have been together. And they started getting very expensive because we have a vaulted ceiling in our living room and we can get like a 10-foot.
Oh, yeah. Taller the better.
Yeah. But they started getting very expensive, like hundreds of dollars. So we bought a fake one either last year or the year before. And we bought it with a stupid, I think it's called like Phlox or something.
Oh, is it? The flocking. Is it the white?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't
remember it. So it's white one.
Yeah. We don't like it very much. And it's got like, not cranberries, but like red berries hanging from it and stuff. It's just messy and it just doesn't look right. And it's pre-lit. I think we actually tried to sell it last year because Lori was like, I don't like this tree.
Well, now would be the time to sell it.
Yeah.
like before Christmas, probably after no one wants it.
That's true.
We got a flocked one. So how tall is it?
It's like 8 or 9 feet.
Huh. Yeah, I think it's just a 6.5. I mean, Molly wanted one for a bedroom. She wanted a tree for that.
Yeah.
And we do have vaulted ceilings in the bedroom, but if, you know, because it's the cathedral. Mm-hmm. So in order to have it at its tallest, it would have to be right in the middle of the room.
Yeah, it's at the foot of your bed.
Yeah, in the middle center. It still could be against the wall, but so we have 9-foot ceilings, but you know, probably in the middle there, it's 12 foot or whatever. So we just stuck with like a 6.5, I think, is what we got. We got one last year I bought one. She had been wanting one of those, a white flocked one with blue lights.
Hmm.
Found one last year at Home Depot after Christmas and all that. I think I paid like $30
for it. Oh, wow.
So
it's a steal.
Yeah. And it's probably $250 during, you know, right now.
Mm-hmm.
Which I did that with. So the same, I was going to talk about outside. I did a little decorating. I'll probably finish up the outdoor decorations for Christmas. I reluctantly mowed the lawn because it's been nice and the grass keeps growing.
It looks good though.
So I had to mow. Well, I had to wait till I pulled all my Halloween stuff off the yard before I could mow. So I mowed, and then our backyard has this huge, what do you call it? A juniper, spruce?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Cedar. Variety,
yeah. But it looks like a giant Christmas tree, basically. So I love, ever since we moved in this house, I'm like, I pointed at that tree in the back. I go, I'm going to decorate that for Christmas. And I've been doing it every year. Last year, after Christmas deal, I bought those huge light bulbs. So they're even bigger than what I did have. And I bought the rolls of them, which are normally, you know, $40 or something. Mm-hmm. I bought 4 of them. I think they were $7 a roll or something on clearance. So there's some money saving tips.
Yeah.
Wait till after Christmas.
We always end up driving by, and you live on this big cliff, basically, that you can see for miles and miles, your backyard, and we always end up coming down the highway this time, in like December, November, and you can spot your house from like several miles away.
See even better this year because they're bigger bulbs, so.
That's cool. And it's definitely gotten taller, right? You've been here,
every year it gets harder and harder to get the top of that tree.
Yeah.
Because I got this big extension pole that I lift up to get all the top branches. And these weeds like grow on the other side of the cliff in front of it, so I think I need to like chop some of them down. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what it looks like from the other side.
I'll let you know.
Yeah. There you go. Christmas
decor.
So I was going, while we were talking about holiday, the Thanksgiving and all that I was going to go on a few holiday debates.
Okay.
All right. When is it officially acceptable to start playing Christmas music? Are you side A, where November 1st, the holiday season's begun? Or side B, where the day after Thanksgiving, you got to respect the turkey?
I kind of fall in the middle there somewhere. I don't know that I'm quite ready for it right at the beginning of November, but I'm okay. Like this year, Thanksgiving is very late in the year.
Oh, it's
like almost at the very end of the month. It's like 27th or 28th.
Yeah.
And that's really late. So I'm okay with like mid-November as we really start to approach Thanksgiving.
See, I would say normally I'm like that, but I've fallen into the same as the wife and kids were.
Right now,
I'm ready. Like, yeah, I'll turn it on. Hey, look. I went to the bookstore down the street.
Uh huh.
I found all this Christmas vinyl records. They're like $3.
There's like 10 of them there?
Well, man. Actually, these two I had. I got 6 Christmas albums. All the 6 of these together were $17.
So do you guys spend a lot of time down here in the studio where the record player is?
I wouldn't say. Me and the kids spend more than the whole family.
Okay.
You know? Like, but they'll always want to play games and stuff. But when down here, I like to put on music.
Mm-hmm.
But now I got sidetracked. Oh.
It's debates.
Debates. Debate number 2. Cranberry sauce. The whole berries cranberry sauce or the canned jelly?
I'm more on the in the camp of. I mean, I like both, but I think I'm more in the camp of the jelly.
Yeah,
can.
That's what I grew up with,
mm-hmm.
And it was my mom would always give me the chore of slicing the cranberry jelly sauce. You know.
My son Caleb, he loves that stuff, and he thinks that everything else is disgusting unless it's the in the can. Like he's talked about it in the past where he's like, "Oh, they made like it's like real cranberries, it's gross." Like that's like better quality. And he's like, "No, I like it when it's got the ridges on there." The lines.
The ridges from the can. Yeah.
He wants that every year. He wants to make sure that's available.
See, and Molly's been, and I've kind of switched over time because I've never really had the regular cranberries, mm-hmm. but I've kind of switched because Molly started making it the past few years, and it's really good if you can, but it's very simple. It's like literally orange juice, I think orange peel and cranberries, and maybe some sugar in there, but.
Sounds good.
I don't know. I think that's usually like served warm though too when it's
is it?
Isn't it?
I didn't know that.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But pumpkin pie versus pecan pie. Or which pie is tops?
Out of the just those two?
Yeah. Well, I would say this is what I've gotten as the verses, but
yeah.
I like cherry the
cherry
most,
and apple. Yeah, cherry is probably my favorite apple. I love apple, but out of those two, I don't know. I don't feel like I gravitate towards pumpkin pie very often. It's really not that appealing to me. Pecan pie is pretty good, but it's like, man, it's
pure
like,
sugar.
Yeah, the worst for you.
It's delicious, though.
Mm. What about you?
Honestly, out of those two, I really like pumpkin pie, but pecan pie, I think I would rather have that.
Hmm.
If so, but it's also an in the mood type thing, you know. Are you in the mood for one or the other?
Yeah, pumpkin pie is probably the only pie that I really. Always think, man, this needs Cool Whip. Every other pie,
I put whipped cream on everything.
Yeah,
and every kind of pie, even chicken pot pie. Mm-mm. All right, and the last one, Friendsgiving. Is it better or is it a better version of Thanksgiving than a real thing?
That's controversial. Well, we have Friendsgiving tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
It seems so early, though, doesn't it?
It is, yeah.
Even though I'm playing Christmas.
Yeah. It's kind of hypocritical.
Though. I know.
So, and we just had our Thanksgiving pizza. Like, what are we doing this Friendsgiving so early for?
And we're talking about all the literal... Well, I wanted to get this early on the show right. In case we're like, oh, we can't do another one.
Honestly, I'm going to be totally honest here. In my family, things get kind of sometimes a little rough to get everybody together. So Friendsgiving seems to generally flow easier, and there's, for at least our smallest friend group, everybody likes the same kind of food. There's no like dietary restrictions. There's no drama. There's no political whatever that's going to make people uncomfortable. We're all sort of on the same page. So yeah, Friendsgiving tends to be a little bit easier to handle.
I agree. And I think not only that, I think part of it is for us, Thanksgiving is, we got to go to this place, and then you got to go to this place.
Yeah, that's
you know,
true.
It's not like Friendsgiving is just one thing. Mm-hmm. Bring a dish, we're ready to go.
Yep, hang out, have a good time.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's not a like. It's more relaxed. Like I was saying, yeah,
more relaxed. That's true. When we started, we were talking about how I was building that furniture.
Yeah.
For my daughter Lexi. And as I was getting ready to start building it, I had the thought where I should film it and put it on our How to Fix a Workshop channel. And then I was like, I'm in a hurry, you know, and I just want to get out there. Plus, I didn't really like have a clear vision of what I was going to do. I knew I was going to be taking some steps that, you know, and just kind of like thinking through it.
Right.
But I don't know. Then afterwards, I'm like regretting that I didn't film it, and even for myself, like, I don't care if anybody else necessarily sees it or is interested in it. And I just immediately, I'm regretful that I didn't film those two builds. And I just want to get back into that with some level of consistency and put that stuff out there, maybe just for posterity's sake. But
yeah, and I get where you're coming from. I think a lot of times where I'm working on something, I feel kind of, how do you phrase this? Not embarrassed, but I feel like I don't really know where I'm...
Self-conscious, kind of.
Yeah, self-conscious. Yeah. I don't really know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, I almost have to figure it out while I'm doing. And so I don't want to shoot all that seeing the mistakes, but maybe that is just part of it, you know?
I see some creators that'll do that where they're like, hey, I'm going to build this thing. And maybe you might see the finished product at the beginning. And then, you know, then they jump into, you know, a couple days earlier or whatever when they started it. And then they're going through it and they're like, so I did this and I'm not sure that this is going to work and I have to figure this out. And then they're like working through it and talking through it while maybe it's talking over like some of the cutscenes or whatever it is. But it's more interesting of a story than if they just went through and were like, okay, I cut this board in and I cut this board in and I put those boards together.
Yeah, I guess you're like, I'm just self-conscious about that. And I'm like, why? It's like, you're right. It's part of the story and probably more interesting to see like, oh, you know, I thought that I could do this, but then that didn't work. So now I got to go back to the drawing board and do it this way. And here I figured out that this is how it,
yeah,
you know.
So I want to get better at that. I'm kind of bummed that I didn't record those two projects because I felt like they would have also been accessible to people too. Like not, I don't know. I mean, they're both very unique. They were just like things that I just started to throw together and it came out pretty cool and Lexi's happy with them. And I think they're going to, you know, serve her well, be good pieces of furniture, but they didn't like really cost a whole lot. I had to use a couple tools that might not everybody might have, but yeah, I don't know. That's my goal. I always say that, like, we're gonna do better at How to Fix a Workshop.
I swear, we started out the first half of this year like amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were putting out video after video, and then it's kind of like anything else. If you're doing it, you just keep it up.
Yeah.
The second you stop, just like working out.
Yeah.
Just working out. Second you stop, it's harder to get back, you know? It's no different. I guess any kind of habit is like that.
True. And it's funny, too, because I remember like putting together a bunch of those videos where I was fixing the doorknobs and locks and stuff around my house. And actually, it was just one video. It was like problems that I had with like doorknobs and door hinges and all that just around my house. And then I split it up into separate videos and they didn't get like any attention, like 100 views or whatever. And then now, if you look at our top 10 videos, like 4 of those videos are in the top 10 for like the last 28 days. Like they have thousands and thousands of views.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's...
Some of ours are just slow burn.
Yeah, you know? They are. It's like evergreen content, but you know now they're starting to take off. And one of the video, the long form video actually, the one that's like the 20-minute one, has, I don't know, like over 3,000 views in the last 28 days, which is like, what? Like that had nothing at the when it was released. And so it's like, I get discouraged because they don't take off initially.
Yeah.
But then you look back after 6 months or a year and they have done pretty well and stayed consistent.
Our channel is not a, like, it's not like people that have like current news or, you know, something like mm-hmm. that is, you know, we get all our views on the first week.
Yeah.
We're more of a, like I was saying, a slow burn. Most of our stuff, you know, obviously it's something people are searching for, how to fix this, I don't know, coffee table or put together this or that. Our subscribers don't really come back, you know.
I wonder if some of those guys like Mark Rober or Mr. Beast, you know, like some of the biggest YouTubers, I wonder if they're analytics are like the day or within a couple of days they release a video, because you look at one of those guys when they release a video and you'll see like 30 million views, but I wonder
and they've only been posted like 2 hours.
Yeah, exactly. So I wonder if like 6 days later, you know, is it like a huge peak?
It's
and then it
be.
Drops off and then nobody really, I mean, it probably gets views over time, but not to that level. I mean, they're not, because clearly it's not like up to like a billion views or anything like that.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of that, I mean, like Mark Rober always has the glitter bomb videos.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure the word of mouth and people sharing that first month or so
mm-hmm.
keeps it alive. And then suddenly it's, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, but ours go the opposite way, where it's like when they're released, it's like nothing, and then over time, it just like gradually grows.
Yeah, and you never know what'll take off.
You never know. Yeah, that is so frustrating. That one video that I have out there, the one with I built a shelf over like a washer and dryer. That video gets views every single day, and I'm like, I released it like 5 or 6 years ago, and I looked back at it. I watch it. I'm like, I just kind of cringe. I'm like, this is so terrible.
I don't think you really, and it's a good video, but I don't think you actually really show anything. You're kind of, don't you just say, this is what I built?
And no, I did show building it. Yeah.
I couldn't remember. It's been a while since.
But at the end of it, I forgot to take my camera with me, like my video camera, and I had a really crappy cell phone at the time, and I was like, just took a couple of quick videos of like, here's where it's going to go in over the washer and dryer. And then I took a couple still photos of like, this is the, like what it turned out to
be.
Yeah. And that's the end of the video. And yeah, it was just a total afterthought. Like I didn't put that much effort into it. I drank a beer in that video where I was like sanding, and I'm like, yeah, that's a good time to have a beer, and it was a brown from Main and Mill, and I don't know if that like is something that kind of you know, you never know what's the secret sauce there.
No,
I don't know,
but I know for me, I use my phone for pretty much all my shooting video because I don't really have anything better, and I know my issue is a lot of times. Like when I was working on this turntable or whatever, it's hard to get the right angles and the lighting and to put the phone where it's shooting on where you need it to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
So you end up doing one-handed things and it doesn't always, I don't know.
There's this
that's a big issue for me.
there's this guy that I watch, Vice Grip Garage. I started watching him a couple years ago, and he works on cars. His whole thing is, for the most part, he finds an old broken down car, like in a field or something, and he's going to get it running and drive it home, you know, and it could be like across the country or maybe it's a few hundred miles. But he does everything with a phone as well. He gets like hundreds of thousands of views. He's a funny guy, but he will leave it like way back. Like it's not even a close up. And he's like just talking through it, and he's got his back to the camera, and he's like, okay, so now I'm going to do this and do that. And there's no close up shot of it. Every once in a while, he'll come in, like he'll go, okay, let me take you in here. And he'll go in and go, see, this is what I did. I did this and did that. But it's not like you're seeing him doing it
right
at that time. And I don't know.
It works.
His video, he puts like 2 hour long videos out there, and I watch them. I don't watch them in one setting. I usually watch like a half an hour and then come back to it and you know, watch another half hour.
Man.
Anyway, so you got a couple that are in process?
I guess. My apple cider.
Yeah. For the Beer 30 one, right?
I guess I could make that Beer 30 and then rebuilding it. But here's the thing. Okay, my turntable, I got it where the sound is louder and all that. I still don't feel it's that clear. And I don't know if it's, you know, your vinyl versus digital or CD or whatever, or just I got some more work to do on that, because some albums sound so much better than others, you know. And I also have this other turntable, and I'm thinking, I wonder if I hook that up to the amp that I put in, if that would make a difference too. So I don't know. It's getting, first of all, I'm trying to get an old 1960s turntable back to snuff, to sound
right.
Good, which probably never was the greatest of sound. Maybe it was good, but but I turn on the stereo, and it sounds a whole hell of a lot better than the actual vinyl. So
isn't there like a thing with needles? Can't needles be kind of like damaged or worn out?
Yeah, but I got a new one when I bought the thing, and I know there's cartridges too. I probably have to do more research. So that video may not be completely done yet, because I'm still kind of working with it.
I know you say that it sounds okay with stereo, with FM or radio or whatever, but I'm curious what the speakers look like, because, you know, even in your car or whatever, I mean, old technology was paper, essentially, like cardboard speakers with maybe a rubber. I mean, I think the what do they call it, the cone, and then you had the perimeter of the speaker. Like back in the day, that was all paper.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's any chance that some of that could be damaged and you could update.
I don't know. It sounds,
but you say it sounds good.
Yeah, it sounds good on other channels. So
can you see the speakers at all?
Yeah.
Oh, you can.
I can show you that, but it's in process still. And I remember, you know, we're old enough to be the age where we listened to vinyl back in the 80s or whatever.
Yeah, my grandma had one.
We never called it vinyl, we just called it records.
Records, yeah.
And I know it didn't sound that muffled. Maybe it did. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
And maybe I'm trying to get some sound out of, you know.
I mean, look, watching TV, you look at like what we look at now, these big screens, and you know, everything is clearly high definition and 4K and everything. And you think back to what you watched on a CRT, and you got a really big one over there that's like, what is that, 36 inch or 30?
Yeah, 36.
That's far larger than anything I ever grew up with.
Our living room Well, you know how big it is. We had a 27-inch
at your parents'
TV.
House.
Yeah.
It was like 20 feet across the room.
Oh, literally. It was, you know, it's bigger than this room.
Oh, yeah. It was huge. But we didn't know any better, you know?
No.
I mean, other than the big screen, like, movie theater.
Right.
And so it's kind of like going back to your point on the record player. You said, I don't know that it may have sounded like that. We just didn't know any better.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel it didn't sound that, because I've recorded stuff. I don't know.
I'll have to give it a listen.
I'll have to. I think it's something I got to play around with, too. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Our How to Fix It updates.
Yeah. That was fun.
Oh, do you have anything else you want to talk about?
You got movies and TV.
Oh, so... thing my family has been doing lately, my daughter loves Dancing with the Stars. You know, most of the people on there are never stars anymore. They're usually reality well, I mean, there's a lot of, they'll have athletes and then there'll be reality stars or someone who, you know, hasn't been a star in 25 years.
Alfonso Ribeiro or somebody.
Yeah. He's a host on the show.
I just made that up. Yeah. I just totally like made that up.
He's the host.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Hmm. I mean, he's relevant in that way, you know.
Yeah.
I feel him and Mario Lopez are kind of in the same boat. They didn't go anywhere with their acting afterwards. They become hosts of different shows, you know.
Yep.
But we started watching that, and of all people on it is Andy Richter.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
From Conan?
Yeah, from Conan and Elf. You know, he's on Elf.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So the way they do the show, they have this celebrity dance with their partner or whatever to some song, and then they judge them, they give them a score, and then so they take that score along with audience voting to see who moves on and who gets kicked off. Well, Andy Richter has been so popular that his scores are constantly the lowest. I mean, he's doing better than... I mean, he keeps doing better.
Like improving than the
He's
dancing.
Improving, yeah. But...
So he's popular with the people?
He is so popular. Like,
is he like doing funny stuff? He's like just
no, I mean,
comedic stuff?
On some stuff, but some dances that he has to do, he can't be comedic, you know?
Yeah.
He goes, I'll play off... comedy when I can, but you know, so he's still in it, which is crazy because every week at the end he's in the bottom three and you're like, oh, he's going home. Huh. And people like him, you know. So I'm stepping on the dog, and it's funny, he's still in there. They had the girl who is Topanga from Boy Meets World.
How does she look these days?
She looks the same.
Really?
She looks really good. She looks an older version of herself, but she still looks good. Huh. She looks great.
Yeah, I always thought she was really cute.
Yeah, well, every kid our age did. I never really watched that show, but
I didn't too much either. But I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, you say Topanga, you knew exactly who it was, even though I probably have watched three episodes of that. A Boy Meets World.
Yeah, it was okay. It was in, I think it was in syndication or something on Channel 11 or where I watched
now
it.
I watched all the Saved by the Bell episodes, but yeah. I don't know.
Huh.
So anyway, we've been watching that, and Millie loves to vote, and she always goes, Daddy, can you log into this so I can vote?
And, that's cute.
You know, and I go, well, you got to give 10 points to Andy. Okay. So it's funny.
So... keeping with our theme of when you should put away your Halloween decorations and
whip it out.
we started watching Nightmare on Elm Street before Halloween, and we're on I think the fifth movie now, so we're still continuing to watch it here in November, which I mean it's not a movie series that's based around the Halloween season.
No, but horror movie usually associate.
But it, I don't know. I kind of like them. They're not. I actually am surprised. I thought Freddy was more. Like, I thought he cut up more and had more lines. And some of the movies, I feel like he doesn't. There's not much screen time.
Yeah.
That I would have expected for him. So I'm. Again, this is the first time I'm watching these movies after 40
years. I can't
believe
the first time you watched. I probably watch all the. I know I've watched all those.
I was aware of the third one, the Dream Warriors, I believe it's called. Where
that's the kids in the,
like the mental
institution. Yeah,
that one's pretty good.
I really like that one.
And the so sometimes I thought about how that one scene that I think I was telling you about it, where he like rips out the one kid's like tendons and all that. And
he uses
like,
him as a puppet. Yeah.
I thought that would have looked cheesy and. You know, the effects would have been terrible, but they're actually really good. You know, when you have it on, nowadays, when you have it on like an HD television and blown up.
I think a lot of those practical effects hold up.
Yeah.
It's those when they do the CGI effects that don't hold up.
Yeah. And there are a few of those that are pretty bad, or they're trying to put like lightning bolts or something like that over the scene. They just look terrible.
Yeah.
That's kind of been what we've been watching.
So you haven't gotten to six, Freddy's Dead?
No.
That's the one I remember seeing in the theater, and it was in 3D. Mm. I have the 3D glasses probably up on the shelf somewhere over there.
Huh.
But that one, I don't know. I don't know if it's that good. I think I have nostalgia for it because it was one of those movies that I saw in the theater. And because... There's a video game segment in it at one point. And what was it too? There was Roseanne and Tom Arnold, they're in it at one part.
Oh, yeah?
Too. Yeah.
So that must have been like early 90s, cuz I think the one that we just watched was like 88 or 89, and that was either 4 or 5.
Yeah. Was that the one where the dream child or whatever, where he had the kid?
Let's see. So we watched the one, it was Dream Warriors, and then the one after that was Dream... It was it had three of the characters from the previous movie, from the mental institution, and so it must have been number 4. And two of them died right away, and then the girl lasted through the
whole movie.
Yeah, sorry. It was number 4 is what we just watched. So I guess we're up to number 5.
Okay. Oh, you haven't seen number 5 yet.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, number 6 is Freddy's Dead. Yeah, the Dream Child is number 5.
Okay. But they're okay. I mean, they're definitely better quality than Friday the 13th or a lot of the Friday the 13th movies.
So yeah, the only ones I remember I saw Freddy's Dead, which was the 6th one, New Nightmare, which is the 7th in the series, I don't know.
Is it kind of a reboot, or is that later?
It's called The New Nightmare, and it kind of, the neat thing about that, it's real life versus you see the actors who played Nancy and Freddy.
Okay.
But you also, I don't know. It's been a while since I've seen it, but I remember that.
Okay.
And you already saw Freddy vs. Jason.
Yeah. I was thinking of that one from, I think it's 2010.
I haven't watched that one. That one, I don't think that's Robert Englund.
Yeah, that's right. I don't think it is. That's so strange.
Yeah. Jackie Earl Haley.
Weird.
I don't know.
It's just called The Nightmare on Elm Street, right?
Yeah.
It's like I assume it's kind of like a reboot.
I hate, Halloween did that so many times where they just named the movie Halloween.
Yeah.
And you're like, why is there four different Halloweens? And the name's the same.
Yep.
Yep. So that's all you've been watching?
Pretty much. There's
Nightmare on Elm Street.
There's a rom-com, what is it, like... sitcom, whatever you want to call it, on Netflix that is called Nobody Wants This with Kristen Bell and Adam Brody. that this is the second season. It just came out, I don't know, a month or so ago. We've been watching a few episodes of that, which is, it's fun. They're very likable characters. I don't know if you know who Adam Brody is.
Yeah. But he was like, wasn't he on, wait.
Seth from,
yeah,
the OC. Yeah.
And he's, is that, wait. Was he Shazam too?
It might have been.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's him.
Okay. Yeah, okay. That's an old picture then.
Was he Shazam?
I don't know. Why am I thinking? Yeah, he is.
Oh, okay.
Or Captain Marvel, whatever they call him. I think they call him Shazam in DC. I've been watching The Chair Company, which is a weird, weird series. The Chair Company. It's so... I don't know if you've ever watched anything from Tim Robinson. He's a comedian. He used to write for SNL. He had a sketch show on Netflix. He has a few of them, but I know. I think you should leave. That was the one sketch show. His comedy. He had that one movie, Friendship, with Paul Rudd. I don't know if you saw that.
Sounds familiar.
So his comedy. Is very, some people like it, some people hate it, some people love it, you know.
Yeah.
I'm kind of in the middle. I like some of his stuff. I think some of it's just over the top ridiculous. The Chair Company is a show that is on HBO Max or whatever they call it now. He basically works for this company and... In the middle of it, that he sits on this chair and he falls and breaks. And the whole thing is him trying to figure out if there's some sort of conspiracy on this company that makes the chairs. And like, I'm like six episodes in or whatever. And it's like a mystery type. You're like, maybe he is really onto something. And like, he keeps searching for this company. And when he's on hold with this company for like 23 hours trying
to
get your call is important to us. Please stay in the line and we'll your next caller. So
it never really, like, there's no, like, story arc or anything?
Oh, I mean, there is, but it's, like, he's trying to open a mall on this company. This company he works for, they're opening this mall, which is the craziest thing in 2025 to open a mall, but...
Yeah. So, it looks like it's released weekly, and there's maybe three more episodes to go.
Yeah, I don't know. I find it kind of... funny, and I've been watching it. And it's kind of weird, strange comedy.
It's strange. So this kind of reminds me of, you know, just other, like, the movie series, going back to Nightmare on Elm Street, where you mentioned, you know, Tim Robinson. So he's credited as the writer for episodes 1 and 2, but then not for 3, 4, like any of the future ones except for the 8th one.
Yeah, I think a lot of these stuff like that, he's probably a director too or something like that.
But I was on Nightmare on Elm Street, you know, we talked before about how that was Wes Craven.
Yeah.
In the very first one, he was the writer, the director.
Yeah.
Like, he's got all these credits. And then the second one, he's like not around at all. I don't know what the story was. I'd like to dig into that a little bit more. The second one sucked so bad. And then the third one... He's back on there for, like, he's in the credits as one of the writers, but there's others. So I don't know if he only had, like, a partial part, but it was a lot better when he was around.
Right.
I don't know. I guess you don't see that necessarily with a show like
this. No, it kind of, you don't really see that. Because I think he's got a writing partner that he does stuff with. So maybe the other guy but I don't know. It's silly comedy and kind of, I don't know, Tim Robinson kind of plays that same role in everything he does, where I don't know how to like, there's always something that it's kind of that Larry David type thing. Something's always happening to him, but no one else sees it, you know, type of situation. That's kind of the Larry David thing too. We're probably about at the end of
We're well over an hour.
Oh my gosh.
We just talk.
People are still listening to this?
No.
Oh no.
Well, should we go on?
If you made it to this part, put the code cranberry sauce in the comments.
Yep.
And we will send you a can of cranberries.
That's a good idea. Yep.
Jeez.
Gosh, Ruby.
So, well,
anything else?
I think we've done it again. I do have one other thing that's probably pretty quick. It's that time of year, Christmas, Thanksgiving, all that. Uh-huh. One of the movies that people kind of forget is a Christmas movie, Gremlins.
Oh, yeah.
Gremlins is a Christmas movie. Hmm. Well, out of left field, Jack in the Box has a Gremlins midnight meal.
Huh.
Why in the hell would they take a property from 1984?
Yeah, 40 years ago.
And decide, hey, we're going to... They did a midnight meal, and there's a commercial for it. It's pretty funny. It's like, your friends were hungry after midnight. I don't know. But it's, you know, it's a bunch of junk food. Chicken strips, tacos, fries, and sweet and spicy midnight sauce.
Huh.
But the weird thing is, so that they... Obviously, they had to figure that out long ago to get that marketing and all that. Mm-hmm. Just yesterday, they announced they're making a Gremlins 3.
Of course.
Did you?
No, I hadn't, but I'm not surprised that there was something in the works there.
So
it wouldn't be that random.
2027, I think, is when
they're trying to probably build up. I thought that I didn't realize there was only two of those movies. I thought there was more than two.
If you ever want, have you ever seen Gremlins 2?
If I watch those movies, I don't really remember much of them. I guess I do remember the first one, but I watched it back in the mid 80s.
So it was Steven Spielberg, so Gremlins 3 with the original Steven Spielberg and what's it, Chris Columbus? Is that his name? Or is it Dante? Chris Columbus, yeah.
The actor?
No. The director.
Oh.
Our producer. Those confused.
What was the actor? What was the character's name? The boy?
The Billy?
I don't know.
I don't remember his actual name.
Hmm. No, I don't remember. I mean his name in the movie.
It was Billy.
Was it? Okay.
Oh, Billy.
Yeah, couldn't he? Yeah, that's right.
So I was talking about Gremlins 2 also because it's such a bat shit crazy movie.
There's our explicit label.
There's the E. It's at the end. No one cares. Because, you know, you have the one that turns into a bat, one that turns into like a woman. One.
Huh.
Like, anyway, it's a really crazy movie. There is a Key and Peele sketch that talks about them making that movie, and it's funny because all the stuff they talk about in that is actually true, but it's funny when you watch that sketch how ridiculous it sounds. So
was Steven Spielberg number two as well?
I don't know if he was in the for the second one, but he's back for the third.
That guy's got to be really up there in age.
Yeah, executive producing. But, you know, how much do you do when you're... Yeah. I think you just get an EP. EP credit is what they call it, right?
I mean, don't you have to say, hey, this quality is good or bad? I wouldn't mind my name on some garbage.
I don't know. At this point, does he care anymore?
I don't know.
Because I made Jaws, motherfucker.
Right. Yeah.
What do I care? So, all right. Well, thanks for hanging out with us. You have anything else?
I think that's it.
Yeah, okay, that's it.
Great pizza, great snack, great beer.
And great googly moogly. We are going to put on our... Damn it. See ya.